Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/Wondery and use code Wondery for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/Wondery, code Wondery.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code AUDIO to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code AUDIO at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code AUDIO.
Welcome to a very special end of 2016 Nerdist Podcast, number 845. And now, let us journey over to the fine Nerdist Community Corkboard for happenings that are relevant to you, the Nerdist audience. So this is really nice. Love is Love is a benefit comic anthology from IDW Publishing and support from DC Comics, celebrating love in all of its forms, which is a wonderful sentiment for the end of the year and the holidays. All the proceeds from this comic go towards supporting the survivors and family of the victims of the tragic Orlando Pulse nightclub shooting in Florida. All the contributors throughout the comic book and community donated their time and their talents to this effort. There are 1 to 2 page stories, pinups, etc. And this is just a one-shot deal that goes on sale December 28th. It's print and digital. Digital versions have exclusive digital content available via Comixology. And there's characters from the DC universe, Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, but also from other universes, Harry Potter, Archie, the Spirit, and more. So please support this cause and pick up Love is Love in person or digitally from IDW Publishing. This is the Hostful that you've all, translation 12% of you, have been asking for a while. The Sister Wives and I got together a few weeks back because we can't... I know it's been difficult, the scheduling. Listen, Matt is writing on the Goldbergs. Jonah's doing like 4 shows. my schedule sucks. So to get us all together in the same room, like when Jonah's doing Hidden America, he is hidden in America. If you follow his Instagram feed, you'll see what I mean. But yeah, he's all over the place. So we do the best we can. But we will always get together for Hostfuls when we can. But I do want to say, if you're new to the Nerdist Podcast this year or you have been a fan for a long time, thank you very much. Thank you for navigating all the sort of evolutions and iterations of the Nerdist Podcast. I know it's fun when Matt and Jonah are on, and believe me, I would love to have them on all the time. It's just not possible with their schedules. But what an incredible year of people that we talk to, and it never fails to amaze me. Like when I get nervous, I don't know how this one person's going to be. Oh, they turned out to be amazing. So this is still, you know, I always said we'd do this as long as it's fun. It's still fun. It's really a learning experience for me to get to pick people's brains and find out what they're like in conversation. And these are conversations. They're not interviews. I really think they're conversations. So thank you for helping us stay in the podcast game. I mean, our numbers seem to keep going up, and I appreciate that. So thank you, thank you, thank you. There's more to come in 2017. Happy holidays to you. I adore you, and really appreciate all the support that you've given us for this little thing that was just a, hey, let's do this because we love it and because we want to make something no one else can control. And it turned out to be a thing that we have built a foundation around. So take that as a lesson, my friend. And again, happy and happy and safe holidays. Hostful Podcast number 845, Katie Levine. Roll the last podcast of the year. Ha ha, 2016. The year of no chill.
Now entering Nerdist.com. We'll be right back.
No, this is when they become snake oil salesmen. They have
If I go meet Helen, I'd like to respond to that question with yet another flip remark.
Wow. Look at me, ma'am. I am Bailey Kennedy.
Oh, Abe, maybe our Homer could grow up to be president someday.
You president? This is the greatest country in the world. We've got a whole system set up to keep people like you from ever becoming president. Quit your daydreaming, melonhead. Quit your daydreaming, melonhead.
Dad, how come you never gave me any encouragement? Maybe I could have been something more than I am. Like a travel agent to a great scientist. Put your radar alarm.
Who are you to complain? You locked me up in a home and give me the same damn shower safety seat every Christmas.
You're all like you never said one nice thing to me.
That's because you're a screw up.
You're the screw up.
You little.
All right, that's it. We're going home. I'm sick of you and your stupid tonic.
If I hadn't taken that stupid tonic 38 years ago, you'd have never been born and I'd have been happy. You were an accident.
I'm sorry.
Get out.
I'm sorry I said that.
Out.
I'm gonna get out of the car, and I hope you'll find it in your heart not to drive away. Well, I'll be all right as long as I can remember my army training. Dang.
Yeah, I think it's on like a timer more so than it is the act break for the show.
Of course not, Marge. Just for the rest of his life. He said it was an accident. He didn't want to have it.
Blah, 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 blah. Do, 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 do. Check.
Beep, boop,
I'm sorry, I have to turn off Simpsons World now.
I thought we were watching the marathon.
That's what I thought when I walked in.
No. We're just watching.
Why aren't you on board with the marathon, Chris? We're
watching Simpsons TV on that.
I like the marathon. Well, I loved the last time they did it because it was neat watching it with all the same people at the same time.
Right. Yeah.
But this
yeah.
one's. I know it's fun to just turn it on, and which you actually get on.
Yeah, you can put it on a randomizer.
Simpsons TV. It has all these different channels, and then Simpsons World.
It's great. Simpsons World is great.
I always just go to season 7, the best season.
Let's look at what's season
like
7.
You want to see what's on season 7? Here's what's on season 7 of The Simpsons. This is going to fucking blow your mind how many of these episodes are in season 7.
Okay, it starts off with the part 2.
Part 2 of Who Shot Mr. Burns, Radioactive Man, Home Sweet Diddly Dum Doodly.
Okay, that's
when... that's
when
they have their foster parents are
Bart
Flanders.
Sells his soul.
Okay.
Lisa the Vegetarian. Treehouse of Horror 6, which has Homer in the 3D
cakes.
World. Mm-hmm. King-size Homer, where he gains weight.
I don't look like a weirdo. I'll take the moo-moo.
Mother Simpson, where he talks to his mother. Sideshow Bob's Last Gleaming. 138th episode. Team Homer, where they do the pin pals.
Oh, yeah.
Season 7.
George Bush,
what is his neighbor. The Class Struggle, where she keeps making the same suit over and over.
Chanel dress.
Lisa, they're going to Homer the Smithers, where Smithers goes on vacation and Homer takes over. The Day the Violence Died, which is the Chester J. Lampwick episode.
When he finds the creator of Itchy and Scratchy.
Fish Called Selma, where
when she marries Troy McClure.
That's right.
Huh?
Bart on the
Road. Bart Gets a License. Wow. I remember that one.
22 short films about Springfield.
Okay.
Raging Ape Simpson, The Fighting Hellfish.
That's right. Much of Poo About Nothing.
And then Homer Palooza.
Yeah, it goes on.
And then Summer of 4 Foot 2.
I remember like this was what I was I realized I've been watching the show for a very long time. Season 6. Let's look through season 6. Because I think it might be pound for pound. You got monorail and stuff in there, right?
Okay, let's see. Now we're going to look at season 6.
Okay. Bard of Darkness when he breaks his leg. Great.
Yeah.
Lisa's Rival.
Yep.
Another Simpsons Clip show.
Itchy and Scratchy Land.
Great.
Sideshow Bob Roberts.
Bart's Girlfriend is great.
Treehouse of Horror 5 where they do The Shining.
Yeah.
Bart's
The Shining.
The Shining. Do you want to get sued?
Kill Bart. Kill Bart.
Oh, this one was just on. This is the Grandpa Simpson versus sexual inadequacy.
Homer Badman. That's the Gummy Venus de Milo.
Fear of Flying, where Marge's...
Lowenstein.
Yes, where Marge's dad turns out to be a flight attendant.
Yeah. Oh, the Stonecutters.
Stonecutters is good. The story of Maggie's birth.
That's a sweet one.
When Homer becomes crusty.
Bart versus Australia.
Which is okay.
Yeah. I feel like that's later.
Don't tread on me on his ass, right?
Yeah, A Star is Burns. The Critic crossover.
Bullfrogs, I'd have called them Cheswuzzles.
Yeah, yeah. The Simpsons, the Critic crossover was very fun.
Oh, yeah. The Greyhound episodes.
Oh, yeah. Bleeding Gums dies.
Yep.
Marge becomes a cop.
Okay.
Lemon of Troy, guys, come on.
Season 8.
Was that your season?
Season 8 for me.
Okay.
All right. Here we go.
So I picked season 7. Jonah's got season 6, and Matt has season 8, which has
starts
only
with
move
a...
twice. My favorite episode of The Simpsons.
Yes, that's great.
Hank Scorpio of the Globex Corporation.
Yes, mostly improvised lines from
Albert Brooks.
Albert Brooks.
Then Homer becomes a boxer and gets Dredrick Tatum.
Yes,
beats the snot out of him, and then it just ends.
Rodney Dangerfield.
And that's the one where it ends with Mo just with that fan that carries him around.
Oh yeah,
that weird montage of him traveling the world. Yes, there's a Dangerfield episode.
Milhouse gets the parents get divorced.
Oh, that is a good
episode. That's with kind of borrow a feeling.
Oh, yep. Where she? Yeah, then Lisa starts dating. What's his name?
Homer finds his coyote spirit animal after
the chili
cook-off.
I'm missing it. It's happening right now.
Yeah. And then chili you have cook-off. The X-Files episodes.
Yeah. See? You see what I'm saying?
Marge, your gimbals. What's the...
Oh, that's the...
Itchy and Scratchy and Poochy?
Yeah. The Twisted World of Marge Simpson, where she goes to the pretzel wagon.
Yeah.
That was with Jack Lemmon. Itchy, Scratchy, and Poochy.
Oh,
come on.
Poochy.
Okay. Homer's Phobia with John Waters.
That's
the Simpsons brother Niles and Frazier. That's David
Beer
Hyde
and Beer Baron, Beer Baron,
and the Beer Baron. And when Krabappel and Skinner start hooking up,
and then when they get that fancy dog,
and when Lisa starts helping Burns and he becomes good, and then he wants to make money off of
he makes slurry,
yeah,
makes a slurry,
and then
Grimy Grimes,
wow,
boy, season 8 is pretty good,
yeah.
But I still, you know,
I don't know. I think we all picked wisely.
I think I win.
So 6, 7, and 8, if you're going to watch The Simpsons.
Sure, I'm sure 5 is pretty great. I'm sure
4 is great. 4 is great. They're all lovely.
They're all great. Someone, Caitlin Gill, very funny comic, was trying to tell me that somewhere in like the late teens, there's like a 3-season golden era that happens like again.
Oh.
Like later, like way later, after a lot of people stopped, like a lot of our generation stopped watching, there was another like hit after hit.
That's so mind-blowing to think that show's going to go for 30 years. Fucking 30 years!
Yeah.
Someone could, like, someone was probably, they hooked up in high school when The Simpsons came on, got pregnant, I don't know why it had to be high school, then that person grew up, that person could have had kids. I mean, it's like, multi-generational.
It's insane.
Well, this is the Hostful podcast?
Yes, this is the Hostful podcast.
I forget.
This is the Simpsons podcast.
This is the
Allie Gertz.
I'm Allie Gertz.
Shortly.
Allie could do the theme song for us. That'd be
Julia's coming
fantastic.
In. It's going to be great.
It'd be fantastic. Well, everyone's been so busy, and people always ask for the Hostful episodes, and I say to people, guys and ladies.
No Hostfuls. That's what you say.
I say, want them? Then absolutely not. Because my goal is just to fuck people over. I like fucking the fans over. That's what I do. I don't like people to be happy.
It's the only reason you got fans is to fuck them over. It was a long con, but it's working out nicely.
I do. I always find it interesting when people are mad at a whatever it is, a company or a franchise, and they go, they're just fucking the fans over because of greed. And I always go, how does that make sense exactly? Why would you fuck your fans over? If you were greedy, you would just want to keep them happy. Now, if you just want to fuck them over, that would make you insidious, but then maybe you wouldn't be as greedy because then you'd lose
them.
Well,
what if you're keeping them happy with free content and then you need to charge them for pay content? That's how you could be greedy.
I guess that's so.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
This Hostful podcast is $4.99.
It's not any amount of money.
Don't worry. It's already been taken out of your accounts.
It is not any amount of money.
Guys, we'd be making tens of dollars if that were the case.
$10?
Even if I ever did do a subscription version of the podcast, there would always be the free version of the podcast.
Yeah.
I've often thought about what it would look like if, you know, I don't know, whenever I get my shit together to make an app for it, that...
there could be like a premium version of the podcast with no commercials and, I mean, no sponsorships or anything, and then still, but still the free version with the sponsorships.
Yeah. I guess you'd have to up the amount of commercials in a non-subscription version.
No,
of
I wouldn't do that.
Well, then,
well, then you got to make it worth it. So I think you should do about a half hour commercials.
This whether or not we should have commercial chat is brought to you by Sleep Number.
And then we just get Paul Scheer to read all our commercials.
I'd be totally happy with that. I'd be totally happy with that. But we're doing Sketchfest this next year.
Yeah.
January 21st. We're in a big theater.
Oh, cool.
Hope people show up for that.
I'm sure they will.
Six, seven people will be there. It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
As long as we're there, half listening.
As long as we're there, it doesn't matter.
As long as Katie's there, half listening.
From Reno.
But man, what a crazy year it's been for everyone. And so that's why it's been so difficult to get the sister wives together. Because Matt's
I just looked over my shoulder and saw a prancing antelope.
Yep. Oh, well, yeah. It's an impala.
Oh, I thought it was like...
Oh, it's an impala? It is an impala.
I thought it was...
Foolish me.
I thought it was just a massive fart propelling it forward.
Matt has been working on the Goldbergs.
Yep.
So that's taking up full time. And then...
Taking up a lot of time.
Working on the IVF.
Ever pushing forward to become a Jewish person, Matt.
Yeah, I'm just trying as hard as I can.
You're an honorary Goldberg.
Yeah.
I don't know if I want to be in that family.
Jonah's been working on a million. Boy, you went right from Mystery Science Theater right to Hidden America. You came off of Meltdown, MST, yeah. Hidden America. You're already in season two.
Hidden America ended up editing as we started writing MST. And then as we finished up writing MST, we were shooting Meltdown. And as we were editing Meltdown, we were writing the next season of Hidden America, and then I had to take breaks from that to shoot Mystery Science Theater 3000.
You're a regular Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Don't tell him that.
he might quit Twitter again.
Well, it's amazing that, I mean, when you really look, just sort of talking about 30 years of The Simpsons now, this is about 7 years of the podcast, and then just seeing what has transpired in that time. I mean, when we started the podcast, Jonah was still Freeloader's Guide, Jonah.
No, I was writing on...
You were starting to write. We just started writing. You just started working on Web Soup.
Web Soup we had been doing for about a year.
About a year, yeah.
But, Chris, I don't want to alarm anyone, but out that window, we're in the sky.
No, Matt.
guys, help me.
It's a screen saver.
What?
Yeah, that's not... We're not on an airplane all of a sudden. The TV just has a screen saver.
I don't understand TVs.
We're recording in my house, and we're in the room that has a TV in it, and Matt was upset because Apple TV just went into...
The sky.
I love it. The new Apple TV is worth it alone for the screensavers.
The screensavers are pretty great.
You don't have to look at photos of nature anymore?
No.
I like to do city flyovers. Yeah. Oh, look at Paris.
Yeah.
Oh, look at London.
Paris? I haven't seen Paris yet.
Yeah, I've seen Paris and London.
San Francisco,
and
New York, and London.
San Francisco.
And Hawaii.
Paris is special. They give it.
Maybe it knows that you're Hawaiian, and that's how smart it is.
That's why I see all those Moana ads.
It just shows it.
I was going to see a movie the other day, and someone in front of me was like, "One for Mona," and I wanted to punch him in the back of the head. Moana,
stupid Hallies.
Yeah, I know. I can't wait to see it though.
Come in here and howling shit up.
I'm looking forward to that movie.
Made a ton of money.
Good. It means it's good.
Is it?
That it can't get it.
It's got The Rock. Come on.
I love The Rock.
I love The Rock, too.
I finally watched Central Intelligence, and it's a very fun movie. But there's a scene that made me, and I know it was on a plane, so give me that. But
did you cry during Central Intelligence?
You know, I tear up. When I say I cry on planes, like I tear up. This one, I started to cry. I started to convulse.
During Central Intelligence.
During Central Intelligence. So The Rock is a fat kid in high school.
Sony Pictures Classics.
Classics. All you need for this movie
Fox
is a big heart,
Fox Searchlight.
A little heart.
Jane Austen's Central Intelligence. Yes.
It's a prequel to La La Land.
Right. The whole idea is that he's like a fat kid in high school, and he gets made fun of by this bully. Fast forward years later, he looks like The Rock because he is he's Dwayne Johnson.
Sure.
And he's confronted by his childhood bully, played great by Jason Bateman. And then Jason Bateman's just tearing him down. And then Kevin Hart's going, "Come on, get him. Come on, you could take him." And then The Rock is kind of freezes up. Dwayne Johnson freezes up and doesn't know how to handle the situation, then looks into a reflection and sees his high school self.
And then you started crying.
And then I started to cry. And then I might have said this out loud. The only weight you can't lose is in your eyes.
Oh, Jonah. Oh, no.
Yeah, I was crying.
Every throw up Thursday post picture that you post.
That's all I see every time I look in the mirror.
You never get past your 13 to 15 year old self. You
what is it about those years? Because also I have a theory that most people's favorite movie or music or something like very significant to them creatively is like 12. That's the age I always say. Like it's like when I ask a lot of people, what's your favorite movie? They say it, and it usually comes out around when they're 12.
I have a couple theories on that. Number one, you're flooding with hormones at that time, and I think it just kind of flash fries your psyche to the back of your brain. And number two, I mean, you know, when you think about the things that impact you the most, it's because they change your worldview. Mm-hmm. But you have a very limited worldview when you're 12. So when you see something like, you know, like Ghostbusters or Caddyshack or The Jerk or whatever, and not having any other reference points for like adult humor, those things just, they're so life-changing. But the older you get, the less surprised you can be because you've seen so much. So you just don't have as many life-altering experiences the older you get. You're like, I've seen it.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but when you're that age, I think you're also attaching that chunk of discovery as well as, oh, what a great, fun thing. And then also, your identity is forming. So then on top of all that, your identity is just sort of creating this crust around all of it because you're kind of deciding, like, what drives you and what do you want and who are you and, you know. And that's, I think that's why, you know, that's why now when you hear people talk about things from the 90s and they go, oh boy, you know, was it any better than Saved by the Bell? Yeah, it was.
It's so much better.
Yeah, a lot of things were better. Yeah. But if you were like 12 or 13 when that show came out, that was like April Richardson.
Yeah, and that's why you can't really fault anybody for, you know, liking certain bands because it's just because they were at the age where it was the
finally. Thank you, Jonah.
Oh, gosh,
waiting for you to apologize about this Dave Matthews thing for seven years.
Let the record show.
Seven
if
years.
We go back in time, it was Hardwick. It was Hardwick who brought it up. Who put it?
Where did I put those records? Where did I? Oh my God, that's right. The first like 2 years of podcast.
Look at the description.
Chris does this. Jonah does this, and Matt loves the Dave Matthews band for 2 years.
It was always like somehow Matt still loves the Dave Matthews.
Yeah, I think
and that's what it was always like. But everyone put it on me because I look like I'm like,
and I'm convinced that's why we've never had Dave Matthews on the podcast because someone in the group goes and looks at management goes looks at the description of the podcast and they just see that and they're just, oh my God.
I think I love his work in Don't Mess with a Zohan.
Sure, who doesn't?
Yeah, he's really good in it.
Very funny.
Well, so you discovered Dave Matthews at 12?
No, ish. It was like 93, so it was like I was 10. But, you know.
Did he tour this year?
Yeah, I went in Irvine. I watched him close down Irvine.
How was it?
It was great. It was a great
What
concert.
Does he play at this point? Do the jams vary? Like, does it?
Man has, you know, the catalog is huge. He's got 180 songs.
But does he play, like, if he plays Crash Into Me at a show like that you just saw on the
Crash Into Me. Sometimes you'll get the Dixieland outro. Sometimes you get like a straight outro. Just
so he varies
outro
it.
Sounds
he
pretty
varies
rad.
It. So yeah. does it change in the middle where it's like now we're going to do these kind of semi improvised breakdowns in the middle or what is it?
No, it depends. Like there's a lot of different jams they do. A lot of them you've heard. But then, you know, the newer songs, you go and you hear, like, something off Big Whiskey, and then you hear, like, there's a six-minute jam in the middle of a song you've never heard before. That's fun.
Yeah.
It's not like Fish.
How new does it feel when you're watching, like, a jam? Do you go, oh, I recognize that part from a live album or recording?
No, you know, it depends. Like, for me, it had been a couple of years since I had seen them. I missed the previous year because of my bachelor party. I had bought tickets, but I had to miss it. And so, like, it had been
a couple
year-long
years. Bachelor party?
I did. Chris, it was great.
Yeah, he had to go to rehab after it. Chris. You weren't there.
I really should have been there to help him through that.
Yeah, really. It was nuts.
Well, didn't take. I still love Sheet Cake.
Okay.
I'm a bigger fan of blanket cake.
Speaking of cake on the sheets, how's the IVF going?
We implanted an embryo.
I'm sorry, Joe. Hey, come on, you guys.
Oh,
hey.
That's great.
Don't. Yeah,
that was good. It was good. We put a female embryo in on Wednesday.
Yep.
And then she's taking a blood test December 2nd to see if she's pregnant.
For anyone who doesn't know, Matt and Dory started a podcast to chronicle their journey.
We did.
And it's great. What a great idea. I mean, I'm glad you guys were open to that because I really think not only is it will it be interesting for people to hear the process, but I think it will also help demystify. I think it'll help people who are considering it.
It's fascinating to like we had just like when we started doing it, we had talked to people in our lives and like people you wouldn't know have already gone through this, and then we started to find a lot of people that I know and that she knows have done IVF or are doing IVF, and a lot of us at the same clinic at California Fertility Partners in Westwood, and it just became like, oh, we should sort of like, why is there such a weird stigma on mm-hmm. this? And like, I would talk about it openly, and then you know, a relative of ours had the same thing as me, but they had never mentioned it out loud, and then I was talking about it, and then they were like, oh, well, same thing with me. And
is
like,
the podcast called Defying God's Will?
That's the subtitle.
It's close. I think it's called Matt and Dory's Excellent Podcast.
That's excellent
great.
Adventure.
That's great.
Excellent Adventure. Excellent Adventure.
I think I saw your post.
Please subscribe
that.
On iTunes. We appreciate it. It's a good podcast because like, we really like do it. The content we get, not only is it like what we've gone through that week because it's constantly something, but we take questions. People email us. We have a voicemail line.
Oh, that's great.
And people call us.
Are you going to take it when she gets pregnant? Are you going to take it through the pregnancy?
I think we're going to take it through our deaths.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, it is pretty cool because if you guys start it now, the idea of this morphing podcast, or you can even change the title as it goes along. Year one, year two.
Well, once people kind of get comfortable, like once people are in listening to you guys, then it can transition.
Yeah, it's interesting too because then it could turn into like a parenting podcast.
Are you going to do it again, or are you guys going to just do one?
Well, I'll tell you what. If we want to have two kids, if this female embryo doesn't take, we have a male embryo that's rated much higher than this female one.
Fucking Hollywood.
I mean, come on, folks.
That was great.
No, it's a great joke. Okay, why are you saying, come on, it's not funny?
All right.
I laughed.
Someone's laughing on a train right now.
Yeah, I laughed.
I was just yelling at myself in my head. Like,
no.
No.
Also, it was a little delayed because I couldn't think of a better one, and there
okay,
it was.
Okay, yeah, that's good. Okay. So, yeah, we did two rounds of IVF. We ended up getting two viable embryos, and every clinic rates them differently. This clinic rates it on a scale of 1 to 5. And the female embryo was 3.5, and then our doctor got very excited about the male embryo, which is 4.5. It's like, this is a great embryo. I would put this one in. But we want to have a girl, and we decided to put in the girl embryo that's rated at 3.5, and if that doesn't take, we're going to do another round of IVF to try to get a viable female embryo.
So what do you – I'm curious –
we want a girl and a boy.
I'm curious about the two kids thing because Lydia wants two kids, and I keep making this joke that she never finds funny where I'm like, I'll get you another cat. But she's like, no, we're having two kids. And then, and twins are very high occurrence in her genetic landscape, apparently. Yeah. But one sounds like the perfect number. It's like, oh, one kid. You can just throw them in a Bjorn and take off. Like two kids.
You're an only
child. You got to wrangle. Well, you got to wrangle two kids.
You know, if you stagger it. You know, if you stagger the children, I think it just
one can help the other.
Yeah. It's like,
not that
know.
It happened to me, but
how much older is Adam?
Three years older, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Lydia's sister's 4 years older than her.
My closest is 7 years older than me, guys.
Yeah,
but then Lydia's sister just had her third baby and they're all like 3-2 newborn. Like, they're right on top of each other.
Oh, that's great.
Like,
her sister got twins.
Irish twins.
Yeah, and they're Irish. Her sister literally got pregnant, like, almost immediately after coming home from the hospital.
She had a C-section. That's cool.
I think she did. But, so why two? What is it about two?
Part of it's like, you know, we look at our dog, Bo, and we think, man, if you had another dog, it'd be a lot easier on us because you guys could just occupy each other.
But they can plot against you.
Well, that's fine, too. But sure. I think it's just, Menendez. I think it's good. She comes from a tightly knit group of three siblings. I feel like an only child. I'm a different family unit than my other siblings.
Yes.
But, you know, she growing up with siblings, she thinks it's very important. And then I always get like sad at weddings when I hear speeches from siblings, and the siblings are like so close to the person getting married, and I'm like, huh, that must be nice.
Yeah, isn't that?
Well, that's why we didn't do speeches at our wedding. Yeah, just didn't want to have any.
Yeah. I was just too scared.
No, yeah.
Too scared of drunk comedians at a wedding getting up and trying to be funny.
Yeah, no, that's why we forego the thing.
You didn't really do that.
We didn't do speeches or anything like that. No.
Well, I got plenty in for both of you guys. Yeah, we had plenty of speeches.
By plenty, you just mean your dad's.
Yeah, my dad's speech. Which I was talking about it last night with Dory. I was out there building a fire in the backyard, and my buddy Andy Secunda, he was over, and we were just talking about
very funny man.
Yeah, very funny man. And we were talking about the
very very funny
me trying to build the fire, and the Dory goes, "You know, he was almost an Eagle Scout." And then I'm just like, "Yes, I was." My dad's fond of bringing that up, and then Dory was like, "What was his wedding speech?" I was like, "I'm not sure of the gist. Like, I'm not sure of the whole speech, but the gist of it was." He may not seem like it, but he eventually always comes through as I'm trying to build a fire.
It almost kind of sounded like, it was there was a fire building thing, and I thought it had something to do with, I thought it was the opposite. If I'm remembering correctly, it was like,
from it, I don't know.
It was like, but I'm not even sure there was a grander message. It was almost like he had something he wanted to get off his chest, and it was about a fire that you never finished or something.
It was really
and it
weird.
Was just it was just back in there.
It was interesting.
What it really felt like to me was like the boy is getting more attention than me. I'll handle this.
It was interesting. But yeah, so two kids I think is going to be, I think that's a good number of children.
First edition of the Myra Method.
Yeah. My hands are fat, that's me. This is the second edition.
You recently a year of marriage?
Yeah.
And also recently another year of aged?
Yep, another year aged. I just had my birthday. Now I've been married for 3 months now.
Three beautiful months.
3 months.
How's it feel?
Well, it's great. I mean, it's
great.
It's the same but different.
It's great. I was asking him.
All right.
I'm just saying.
We all know how you
I mean, like, we were already living together before, it feels the same, but there's this sort of level of like, hey, we got each other's backs. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of we're not going to, like, it's meaningful.
Yep.
In the sense that, and I'm not saying that just being in a, just having a boyfriend, girlfriend, or whatever type of that type of significant other relationship isn't significant. It just, there's just something, it just feels like a layer, a couple layers deeper. And it's kind of nice. You look over like, oh, hey, that's my wife. Hey, come on, now I'm a husband, you know? Yeah. And Japan was amazing. What an incredible place to take a honeymoon. Holy shit.
Looked like it.
I recommend
it. Like you had a lot of fish.
Did we do a podcast after you got back from
there? We haven't done one since before the wedding.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Or we just talked about it?
Yeah, I don't know. We didn't really. I don't think we've.
Everything's blurring together.
We didn't really talk about it. But in a nutshell, I highly recommend. You can get so many places in Japan on the bullet train within a couple hours. You know, we did Takayama, Hakone, Nara, Kyoto. You know, Tokyo was its own thing. But when you're there, a couple days in Tokyo, and then just get out of that. You know, just go out and see the
countryside.
It's such an amazing place.
That's
holy
great.
Crap!
So they always say Tokyo. When you're there, you're family.
Who says that?
Yeah,
is it Tokyo? People, or
it sounds like
that
Olive
Garden. Yeah,
no, I think it's Tokyo.
I don't know. I think you just like. Yeah, I think you're noodles.
Sure when you're
I think
there.
There's a
okay,
noodle
in your
connection.
In your definition of Japan, is there a never-ending pasta bowl?
Yeah, and breadsticks.
No, that's Olive Garden.
No. You're thinking of
you're
ramen and chopsticks. You're starting to combine
Tokyo,
noodles and.
We really did. We really did try because I'm not a big cooked fish eater. But I didn't want to be.
Wait, you're not a big cooked fish eater? You like raw fish.
I like sushi, but I don't love. Like, if someone brought me cooked salmon, I wouldn't be able to tolerate it.
It's great. It's all flaky.
And so, just like licking an aquarium. So, I said, you know, we're going to go and we're going to have the experience. We're going to, you know, whatever they put in front of us, we're, you know, let's eat it. And, but then after about a week, we ate so many fish faces because they don't. Over there, we're eating these like 7, 8, 10 course meals. Everything was really small each course, but it was just like a fish course, and then a shellfish course, and then another fish course, and then like 3 soup courses, but all very very small. But they don't. And then the rice course is last, and they don't disguise any of the. They don't disguise anything you're eating, which I think is probably the right way to do it. Probably, but boy, we ate so many fish faces. Holy crap.
Did you come back hungry? Or
well, the last night we were there, we found probably the best Italian restaurant I've ever eaten at in Kyoto.
That's probably what I was thinking of. When you're there, your family.
Yeah, it was not Olive Garden. Yeah. It was not Olive Garden. It's a bonsai garden.
Oh, I like what you did there.
I don't like it. I don't like what I did there.
Sorry, you did it.
But it was really good. I was really... I posted one picture of... It was a fish on a stick. Mm-hmm. This place we were staying had a stream in the back of it. And so almost everything that you ate there, they caught in the stream.
Oh, cool.
And this person wrote this really long diatribe about... being vegetarian, and I sort of felt like, well, you don't have to follow me.
Yeah, no, good
know,
for them, not for
you.
I don't
know why you have to. I mean, if I posted about meat on your page, you probably wouldn't think that was super cool.
Yeah.
So of course I look at this person's page. 70% of the pictures are just mirror selfies, but with like 20 vegetarian and vegan hashtags. I'm like, I don't know if that really helps.
Oh, I see.
Promote
like
the
doing it for them.
Maybe you
not
don't.
For anyone
I don't
else.
Know. I just kind of feel like. Do we? It's great if you find vegetarianism and veganism if that's great for your life, fantastic. I don't begrudge anyone anything, but why go to someone else's thing and go, you're not doing this right. Fuck you. You should. Well, I don't know. You don't have to come here. You can go other places.
That's an odd part of I think of Instagram is that people can post on. It's your personal space they're posting on.
Well, yeah, and Felicia posted a picture of Thanksgiving turkey, and a bunch of people yelled at her on Facebook, like, this is offensive. Like, but you don't have to go here. You could
Lydia posted a picture of her gun training, a video of her gun training, which was so rad looking when she was doing. She was working on, like, the up-close stuff. And then, like, it's like someone, like, was like, this is glorifying gun violence. And, like, Lydia had, like, the sweetest response. She's like, please don't come into my space and say negative things.
Well, yeah, because, yeah, she's been weapons training because, you know, she wants to do, like, action movies and horror movies.
It looks really cool.
And also, she feels like it's really important to understand, to learn so that she understands how weapons work to make them safer.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's not. She's not doing it to glorify violence. She's doing it for her own growth. And yeah, it is sort of a weird. I do feel like there's a lot of people now who've been so accustomed to their own safe space. They feel like I got to put my safe space over in your space, or everything is so algorithmically coded to make everyone to give everyone exactly what they like. That if something isn't what someone likes, they fucking can't deal.
Yeah,
like I just don't follow. Things that I don't agree that people I don't like or things that I don't like or
yeah and then you get
doesn't
accused
that narrow
being...
your worldview. That's always the problem.
The
you
bubble.
Know what I mean?
That's what they talk about. Yeah. The bubble. It's, oh, you live in a bubble. You don't understand the other things, the other side, the other stuff going on.
Well, I do. You know, Greg Proops had an amazing. Oh my god, this quote has been ringing in my head for weeks since Blaine Capash told me about it. But he was I don't remember where he was, maybe at the Irvine Improv or something, but it was, you know, 15 years ago, and he was telling some political jokes, and then he started to get some hisses and boos and from the audience, and he goes, hey, it's okay to laugh at something you don't agree with. It's called sophistication. And I was like, oh, what a great... And he totally got the crowd back on
that.
That's
funny.
Yeah, but it's, I think, one of the saddest... And I don't want to talk about politics at all.
Yeah.
But I think one of the saddest things that I've... Well, one of the many sad things that I've seen is that we've come to this place where if someone doesn't agree with you on something, that they're instantly your enemy and fuck them and you got to destroy them and you can never. It's like, what's wrong with polite discourse or what's wrong with saying like, well, I don't agree with you on this point or I don't support this thing, but you're a person, I'm a person, you know, most people are trying to do their best. Maybe we don't have to agree 100% on every point, but there really is now like there's so much of an all or nothing kind of a vibe now.
Yeah. That's gnarly.
It's a fractured world.
I don't agree with 90% of what you guys stand for, but we're still friends.
Yeah.
Very true. It's a very good point.
We've done this podcast for years.
Years.
Sort of.
We
sort
deal
of,
with it.
Sort of for years. You've done it
with
for
each
years.
Other?
I really do miss having you guys on. I really try to explain to people, just so you know, you are heavily missed on the podcast.
Yeah,
and people really always want to know when more hostfuls and when Matt and Joan. And I'm like, but they're just they have their own lives and they're busy. And
I mean,
these
you're
are
looking
good things.
At it, kids.
I
see, this
know?
Is a Sunday afternoon. That's,
yeah,
that's
well, you know, that's
kind of
when we started. That's when we would squeeze these in.
Yeah,
when we first started, you know, that we'd do them at your place. We do them on weekends. I remember the first one was on a Sunday. I mean,
yeah, it was on Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, yeah. But like with the amount that we've all gotten so busy, it's like it's all kind of has to. There's an algorithm of time, free time, and
yeah,
it's
so weird.
But because part of the thing is that I don't. I guess just because of the point of view that I have, I don't read you guys not being able to do the podcast as a negative thing. I view it as, oh my God, they're doing so great. Mm. They don't have time, so they'll come and do it when they have time. So if people get upset about it, I just go like, but you like these guys. You want them to do well. And, you know, they're both legitimately living their dreams at the moment.
Yeah, quite literally.
We're doing okay. Devin Jones is living his dream, really.
You're writing for a network sitcom.
You always wanted
Joel
to be what you wanted.
Mystery Science Theater.
What? Yeah, but you
you're
always
the Joel
be,
of Mystery Science.
You always wanted to be a staff writer.
That's a dream. Oh yes, I'm living my dream.
You always wanted to be a staff writer on a network sitcom.
I'm not writing for Frasier. If they started to reboot Frasier and they're like, Matt, come write for this, I'd be like, this is the dream. Yeah. Whereas Jonah's like, they're gonna reboot Mystery Science Theater. You be the Joel.
Yeah.
Now, would it be cast as Frasier or just you being like head writer of Frasier?
There's no head writer in sitcoms. You have a showrunner.
Well, that's, yeah. Well, there is
I
like
I wouldn't want to be the showrunner.
No. That's a lot of responsibility.
No, I would have not a Frasier.
That is a lot of responsibility.
If that Christopher Lloyd character was ever not busy again with his fucking Modern Family. God, how much money does that guy have, huh?
Oh, the Modern
Writer Family? Christopher Lloyd.
Yeah. What about Mystery Science Theater? How was the whole experience, and how did you get your brain out of the way to not get too stressed about, oh my God, I don't want to mess this up?
Well, when we were shooting it, when we were writing it, it was like everything was kind of, it was fun, and it was very small. You know, it was just us making each other laugh. When we started shooting it, we were going so fast. We had, you know, 14 episodes to shoot, like host segment wise, in 6 days, 5-6 days. And, you know, the host segments amount to about a half an hour, like, you know, like 22 minutes. That's like a half hour of sketches. And it's all one shot. And it's everything was going by so fast that I didn't have a moment to kind of go, whoa, look at me in the jumpsuit talking to Crow.
Right.
That sounds like my friend Hampton, or talking to, you know, Servo. That sounds like my friend Baron. It was, everything was going by so fast. And I'm the host, but like I'm like a small cog in this like grander machine of the show, where I realize it's like there would be a time where we do like one thing where it's like I had to like do a sleight of hand magic trick and like a prop and like sing a like part of a song all in this one take, and then there would be times where I'd feel I nailed it, and then they would go, oh, we got to do that one again. There was the camera on the move into the green screen, the doors opening up messed up. And I go, okay. Oh man, I really nailed that one. We'll do it again. And then I kind of mess up a few times, but everything else, like the bots go right, or there was, you know, the prop or anything.
Oh
is
my
like,
God. So it's like a Rube Goldberg machine.
It's just all these things that have to go right for it to work. So like, you know, my performance wasn't the top of the totem pole, and that was kind of like a thing to kind of get used to as we were doing it. Cause it was just like, we were going so fast, and you know, it was, but it still feels like it has that, nice, and I don't want to say, I'm not saying clunky derogatorily, I'm saying it like
homespun, feels homespun.
Yeah, it feels homespun. Yeah. It feels like the old show to
like
me.
Public, like a little public access.
Yeah, yeah, it really does. And it felt like old showbiz, you know, like one, like it's like we'd stop and they're like, all right, you got to get into your, you know, German sea captain outfit. And I'd run, and I'd get into a German sea captain outfit, I'd come back.
Wait, you guys are finally doing Das Boot?
We're Das, yeah. But yeah, then I was like, all right, now you got to be, you know, the guy, you got to dress up like the villain from this other movie we're doing. So I'd run and then like, you know, like there's these props and there's, you know, magic and songs. And it felt like old showbiz kind of stuff.
Jonah's
like,
description of magic is just pulling handkerchiefs that keep going.
That's my physicality. Like, you know, sleight of hand, pulled stuff from behind, you know, Crow's head or something like that. And, you know.
Did anything... It didn't ruin anything for you, did it? Like being sometimes when you see something
made.
And then, but then when you're involved in the process and you're like, oh man, this like took some of the magic out, or did it make it better?
No, it made me. I already had so much respect for the people who made the show, all of them, so much already. But it made me just totally realize how good they all were. Because of how hard it is to make the show, the amount of jokes that have to be written, the timing of the riffs, the physicality of the, you know, and I'm on a platform between two trenches for the bots. And so, like, you know, it's in Joel saying, like, kind of he had a similar situation where it's like, you know, you're going like, oh, we got movie sign. And, you know, I got to jump up and like, you know, juke around and then like run off the side. But that's like, I'm on a platform that can kind of get wobbly. And then I also have to jump over a, like a gap,
an open trench,
like a 3 foot gap and act like I'm just walking forward. So like, I can't like be like looking down to make sure I'm doing it right. It made me go, oh, they were so great. They were so great. And I just hope I, you know, did okay. Well, a really cool part was having all the Kickstarter backers. There was like one day there was 40 Kickstarter backers on set visiting.
Wow.
Yeah. And it was kind of rad because you can kind of see them watching. You could see them smiling and getting to meet them all. I thought it was going to be too much. I thought I had too much to do and, you know, the guy who ran Ivan, the guy who ran the Kickstarter, was like, he's like, hey, you know, like, can you come and talk to the Kickstarter backers? I'm like, I have to learn my lines. I have to get these things done. But meeting people and all the people that were, it felt like we were all like, it was a bunch of people like, hey, we're all part of this thing. We're bringing back the thing we like. And it actually kind of almost gave me like an audience. Like, I would revitalize my, you know, myself by just going and talking with them and laughing with them and having fun. So it was crazy. The whole thing was really nuts, and it happened so fast, and it was just crazy long 12, 13-hour days.
Oh, my God.
You know, like on my feet. Like my legs started getting – my thighs started getting sore, and I was wondering why. It was because of the amount of times a day that I was doing We Got Movie Sign. Or it's just like, you know, jumping and stuff like that.
Mr. Science Theater cardio workout.
Yeah, yeah. But it was
a very specific injury.
Yeah, I know. But it was, you know, they feel good. When Joel and I taped the Turkey Day Marathon stuff, we watched an episode together, and it feels like the show. You know, it's it's weird. I'm also realizing because it's going to be on Netflix, but it's going to be on Netflix all over in every English speaking country. So Australia, New Zealand, all this stuff will get it as well. South Africa. And the weird part is it's like, oh, more people who have never heard of it will see it than the people that have.
Right.
Which is a weird feeling. So it has to it can't rest on the laurels of nostalgia. It has to kind of be its own cool thing.
Right.
On top of, of it being this very beloved.
Well, that's why so many reboots fail, because they just think, oh, the nostalgia will hold this up. It's like, no, that kind of just has to be a layer.
Yeah.
That just kind of has to be the glue or whatever, just the foundation. But then just make it a good thing on its own. And then if you get the nostalgia, well, that's just a nice...
That's just bonus.
That's just a nice bonus. Yeah.
You know, we have stuff here and there. You know, you'll hear... each episode, you'll hear a couple old classic... You know, you'll hear Watch Out for Snakes or something like that.
So, oh, that's great.
Yeah. But it was really... It's insane. It's insane that tomorrow, actually, I got to go in and do ADR.
Automated dialogue replacement.
Yes, I got to go in and redo some lines for the riffs and the host segments.
Sorry, you're so bad at those the first time.
Everyone else did too.
That's not what I heard.
Yeah, it's also sometimes it's like, you know, the little gyro thing.
Yeah, sure.
The little gyro thing, like for like Crow's Mouth, was really loud. So sometimes if we were talking at the same time, you just hear wee 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 wee.
Stuff they don't tell you when
but
you're just
a fan.
But
it's a fucking robot. Yeah. It would make that sound. That's what I'd say to Joel.
Yeah, that's what I was trying.
I really was. Yeah. I'm so sorry. I texted Jonah right after they finished, and I was like, hey, my feelings were really hurt for some reason, because I saw everyone doing it, like all these cameos for friends, and I texted Jonah. I was like, hey, I'm a fan of the show, too. I wanted to be in it. And he was like, I'm sorry, it's not, I didn't 100% control that.
Yeah, it's like, you know, and I didn't want to tell you that it's like I brought you up a couple times and then it didn't like happen. Like, it's like, you know,
they don't like me, I get it.
No, but it was just, you know, it's just this, it's so much other stuff. It did feel kind of weird.
I felt bad too, but I didn't bother him with it.
Yeah. it was, you know, it was odd coming from like, you know, Hin America and Meltdown, where I'm kind of in charge.
Yeah,
or, you know, of these things, and I came onto the thing, and I'm, you know, I was just a writer and performer on it. And Joel would sometimes ask, like, "Hey, man, what do you think about this?" Give me more control.
The interesting thing is that people are going to assume it's your show.
Yeah.
And so you're going to get a lot of the, when it airs,
the praise.
You'll get a lot of the, you'll get a lot of the everything. You'll get a lot of everything.
Will come in. Probably bags of money.
Yeah.
These are all the things that people are going to send you. Yeah.
But I'm sorry. I feel bad that I said anything. It just, my feelings were just hurt for like a minute.
And no, but you probably, were right. You were right. Like,
I shouldn't
you
have
said...
texted you. But I just, it was just sort of the, you know, I'm as big a fan of that show as you are. So
yeah. It was kind of like the thing where when you texted me, I was like, I know exactly. It's like, I couldn't have been more empathetic to that, like that moment. And it was, you know, it was just two friends being honest with each other, you know.
That's, yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't feel bad that you brought it up to me, but it's like, because like you said, you're just like, you know, you would probably feel the same. I was like, yeah, I fucking definitely would.
Oh, you mean if I had done it and I didn't ask you to be?
Hey man.
But also, you know, it's not lost on me. It's like, you know, things are going pretty well. Like I shouldn't, but it's still funny that there can be things that you still have these human moments where your feelings can still get hurt about silly things, where it's like, hey, you know, maybe you don't have to be in everything. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like, it's totally fine. It was seeing pictures post, like, because I follow, you know, all the people who were involved.
Yeah.
And just seeing all the pictures posted and going, oh, man, that looks like so much fun. It looked like so much fun.
Well, it's funny,
you
too.
You got to get over that,
like,
FOMO, Chris.
The FOMO.
Fear of missing out.
Oh, is that what that is?
Yeah.
But, you know, what's funny about that, though, is
Hashtag no FOMO.
It's because of the way the show is shot. It's like, you know, there was like friends of ours there that I never saw. You know, it's like I wasn't there when Patton and Felicia were shooting, except for like half of a day.
Right.
And some other people we know. You know, I made sure to be there when Mark Hamill was there for sure. But but it was like there was this funny thing with Mark Hamill where he was like, Joel, how'd you find Jonah? He's like, oh, you know, I just like met him through the Nerdist podcast, and he was we got along and this and that, and like he's like, oh, is he like a, and I was sitting right there, but Mark Hamill's talking about me like I wasn't, and he was just like, oh, does he do like UCB stuff? He's like, oh yeah, kind of, you know, he did back a while back. He's like, yeah, and then Mark Hamill just started naming a bunch of my friends that he really likes. He was like, oh, James Adomian.
He's a huge comedy fan.
Yeah. And then like, but like the more people he named, the more I was just like, what do you mean you don't know who I am?
You literally named every other guy.
Yeah. But
and hey, does he know Matt Myra? Boy, that Dave Matthews band.
Yeah.
How are Matt and Dory doing? Yeah. Are they having a child?
What the fuck is happening?
What's going on?
Luke.
Hey, I heard Kyle Clark is writing on some CISO show.
Kyle Clark was great, by the way.
Oh, I'm so glad. We have him over on At Midnight
now.
Yes,
I was very pleased with Kyle Clark, his work on Hit America Season 2. He was fantastic. He's got like at least one bit per episode in there.
Yeah, he has a strange encyclopedic brain.
Yeah, sometimes it was a bit to do. Well, that one really, it's like, I don't care. I don't give a shit. I don't care, Kyle. And then he also, like, he's so funny, but he's also like, and we know him so well. It's like when he gets stuck on something where he's like, I have to get this in, or like where he says he has to say stuff or he has to do. I was like, no, you don't. You could have just said, we were all happy with the bit. You don't have to.
You just gotta, that's what makes him great.
Yes. Exactly.
What is he? Yeah, he's doing. He came in through the research department on At Midnight Now. So
yeah.
he's working there.
He's great.
Working there every day. He's great.
Yeah,
he's great.
How's it going over there?
Good. Oh my God, it's been amazing. I mean, since we moved to 11:30, which may or may not be permanent. No one knows. But we've had an amazing time. What it did force us to do was try to rise to the challenge and be more topical and try to be a better companion to The Daily Show than the type of show we were. Because really the first couple seasons of the show was just kind of like, oh, these are silly web clips. And we still do stuff like that. But now the show's – the only thing that sort of bums me out about it is that when people talk about late night, we never get mentioned because they're like – oh, you're a game show. And we're like, it's not a real game show.
Yeah.
It's like The Daily Show is
the Writers Guild.
The Daily Show is like a fake news. They use that type of news show to deliver pop culture and politics news.
Yeah.
We use a game show to deliver, like, it's a comedy show. The game show part's not real.
It's no different from like any other show that has panel. It's just that, you know, there's just a structural difference that moves
it. And so, you know, that's the only sort of weird thing about our show is that, and the reason it's important is because, you know, when a network goes to pick up a show, they like to see, well, you're a part of the conversation. You're a part of the late night conversation. And we keep getting left out of it because people are like, oh, it's a game show. We're like, but it's not a game show.
Yeah.
It's a comedy show. It's pop culture. Like it's more, and I feel like we're innovating as much as possible. We work really hard on that show to try to innovate the games and innovate the stuff and fuck with the structure. And
your new show, when's your new show come out?
The Wall comes out. I don't know when this is going to go up, but December 19th, there's a preview episode after the America's Got Talent holiday special. And then there might be another preview special January 2nd, but January 3rd at 8 p.m. on Tuesdays will be the regular time slot.
Crazy. How many episodes?
Just 10. Yeah. And they'll know quickly if people give a crap or not. I hope they do, but it is a very straightforward game show. Like it is and fun, you know. Someone said to me, they saw the preview for it and they go, well, this doesn't seem like you at all. And I was like, well, that's part of the reason why I wanted to try something different, because that makes it interesting. But, you know, it takes 5 hours to shoot an episode, so you have this huge chunk of time. And I really actually, there's only one team per show and of two people, and I really got attached to those people because you get to know them and you care about them and they're all
because in between setups, you're just probably just talking to
you're
them.
You're just talking, and you know, and everyone was chosen for the show. It wasn't just like a random, it wasn't a typical game show contestant thing. They went after people, and a lot of this was LeBron James's influence, but they went after people who were, you know, pillars of their community or really good people who had something taken away, or like they're all good people.
Yeah, yeah.
So you really...
So when they lose, it really hurts.
It really hurts. But, you know, in a five-hour episode, a lot of things happen. Jokes happen, not jokes happen, you know. And so I don't really know how the episodes were edited. I haven't seen all the episodes.
Shit.
So I don't, you know, it could just be very... But even so, you know, it was really fun. And it was more emotional than I expected it to be. And I'm so glad I did it. And even if it goes away immediately, what a great, fun, different thing to try.
Yeah.
And I always wanted to do a real flashy game show.
Just
to do it.
That's awesome.
So it was fun. Yeah. That's The Wall on NBC.
NBC.
So, was Tom Brokaw NBC? Tom Brokaw, NBC Nightly News. Jonah Ray on Earth Podcast.
Was mauled by a bear today. Remember that sketch?
What?
Dana Carvey plays Tom Brokaw, who wants to go on vacation, so he has to record every possible news story.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And one of them is Gerald Ford was mauled by a bear today. He goes, come on, that's not going to happen. You're the one who wants to go on vacation for 2 months. really a hoot.
I totally forgot about that.
Great sketch.
That is a good sketch. Oh, by the way, speaking of SNL, Chappelle's opening monologue was just, God damn it, that guy is amazing.
He's so good. I'm surprised he didn't light a cigarette during his set.
I mean, it's obviously
he was smoking at the goodbyes.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
It's obviously an understatement to say Dave Chappelle is an amazing comedian, but he really is. Like,
he's great.
He's the best.
We're going to get three specials on
that
Netflix.
Guy can spin comedy. It just, he's fucking he's masterful.
Yeah.
It's almost disheartening where you're like, well, I'm never going to be that good,
so
but
effortless.
I'm so glad someone exists who is.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's so crazy. He's going to do three specials on Netflix.
Well, and they'll be great.
They'll all be great.
Because he just doesn't care about...
And they'll be on Netflix, so if he runs the light, it's not going to be a problem.
He doesn't give a shit about all the stuff that can hang people up. He doesn't care about fame.
Yeah.
He doesn't care about money. He doesn't care about how he's... He just... is a pure comedy lover. Like, he just loves the craft of stand-up. And I really hope I get to see him multiple times getting ready for those specials.
Oh, man, I bet.
Every time you see him, it's like a fucking education. And, oh, that's how you're spelled. Okay. Oh, that's how you... And then if you get a chance, if he's doing multiple shows in a row getting ready for a special, you should go see him multiple days in a row, because he's so just watching him hone bits. Like the first day, they'll sort of be these globby masses, but they're still really funny, but they're very conversational. And then the next day, he's like filtered out some of the fat, and then they get tighter. And then by like the third or fourth day, it's like, well, that is a fucking solid 7-minute bit right there.
You just described his physique as well.
Yeah, that's very exactly. Buff. Yeah, he's tone for a smoker.
Yeah.
Are you doing stand-up at all?
No.
You're going to quit it?
I don't have any. Well, I don't know. I'm taking a break, maybe. The Meltdown was like the last kind of connection I had to doing it regularly. But I just, I am so inundated with all this other stuff that I, like, I haven't thought about stand-up bits. I don't think about stand-up bits.
As sad as I was, because obviously that was another seminal thing that happened this year, the Meltdown show at, not just on Comedy Central, but the Meltdown show at Meltdown Comics at the Nerdist showroom, had its last show a month and a half ago. And as sad as I was to know that that show didn't exist anymore, I was really happy and proud for you, because I know it's not an easy thing to do, to let something like that go. But I think it was really responsible, and I think it was really cool, because it's just sort of a way to chart growth. It's like, you know, we did this thing, and we did it until, you know, it had its lifespan, and that was it. And it's always going to be that special moment in time.
Yeah, and that's what we wanted to do. That was a big reason we, you know, I haven't been around on a Wednesday in, you know, 3-4 weeks. Kumail hasn't been able to. It's like with this, and this would have been the case till March, April, and everyone's like, oh, you could take a break. It's like, well, no, it's like we never did before. It's, you know, the idea of it starting to fall into being a shadow version of what it was at its, you know, best. The, you know, we didn't want it to be anything less than the best version of the show. So
sometimes things really, or most things are just sort of a chemistry of time.
Yeah.
Like everything worked, you know, and then you don't want it. Yeah. You don't want the quality to suffer. You don't want it to not be what it was to everyone. If you're not, if you have other passions, it's good to evolve, and it's good to graduate, and it's good to move on.
Yeah, I love it, and also, you know, it's my interest in stand up. Like, I'm still a fan of it, but like, I wasn't feeling the need to like make new bits and be on stage. I loved being on the stage of that show because I was with a friend and an audience that was, you know, great, but. It's, you know, the more I think about it, the more I get so much more fulfillment out of all the other things I do.
And it's fun to, it really is fun to move on too. But a therapist said something to me once, which I thought was really great. It's kind of hard.
Is this Bruce Wayne's mom?
It's not Bruce Wayne's mom.
Okay, I was just wondering.
But she was Bruce Wayne's mom.
Martha.
Not Martha Wayne.
No.
What's that name?
But. The quote was, it's about the having and not the keeping. So you don't just an experience can still be special, and you can still appreciate that you had it. It doesn't mean you have to keep it forever.
Yeah.
And that kind of makes it more special, because it's, you know, it's finite.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's sort of self-contained, and it's its own thing. And that can be, you know, that period of time, that was that perfect period of time.
Yeah, no, I agree. I mean, you know, I can't say to the quality of the show now, but the fact that we were talking about Simpsons episodes that are 20 years old, and we haven't really seen many outside of those, you know, after those seasons, it's kind of like, it's still around, but like, does it mean as much to us anymore?
Well, the new ones,
I think those old ones do.
No, they do, but
the new episodes,
like, just like if you think about the full spectrum of, you know, and I'm not saying that it's like bad, or it's like, you know, some things can go on for a long time.
But it really is. I think it really is important to try new things, like The Wall or another
Sidekick with Matt Myra
or Sidekick
Alpha.
With Matt Myra or another, you know, or season 27 of The Simpsons, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it requires so much energy to experience new things when you're sort of like, your brain just sort of gets filled up. And then at a certain point, you just go, no more new stuff. I don't got time. I've got energy. And I think that's when you sort of begin to die creatively or spiritually or whatever, because you're not experiencing new things, and experiencing new things is growth, but growth takes energy. So just you gotta find the energy to try new weird things and experience fun weird things.
Yeah, no, definitely, I agree.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do in 2017? What's your big?
As of right now, we're shooting Hidden America season 2 until March, and then we'll probably start writing or editing. We're editing right after that because it premieres in June. We'll wait to see what happens with another season of Mystery Science Theater.
I'm sure there'll be another season.
Seems
of Mystery
like
Science
there would
Theater.
Be. I can't imagine a situation where there's not.
Well, if there isn't, kickstart it.
Yeah, but it's that it feels like production schedule wise that would probably start up right when I'm still editing Hidden America. So I don't know. We'll see. We'll see how it's been a great year and a year of three shows. I haven't had any time off to kind of just go on a trip with Deanna, and I'm kind of starting to really feel that, that kind of thing where it's just like we squeeze in like a movie when we can, and it's but I'm always tired or
it's
always
tough.
Thinking. Yeah, it's really
real tough.
It's tough because I want to have new experiences together that have nothing to do with work.
That's so interesting that I completely understand what you're saying, because this past year, or just being with Lydia, is really the first time, since I don't know when, where I'm really excited about breaks. Because I go, oh, we'll go somewhere.
Oh, yeah.
We're gonna go away. I used to hate them too. Because I'm you're losing momentum.
I was saying you used
you're
to.
You're losing
hate
momentum. Yeah. Oh yeah. Me, I hated them
you
too.
Hated
just
them.
Like me. I hated losing momentum. I always felt like that. And now I feel like no. It's so important. And just to have a partner to want to experience things with, and like let's travel here. And we're already planning next Christmas where we're gonna go.
Yeah.
Because then if you do it, you just got to do it.
You just have to do it.
Yeah. No, I'm looking forward. We want to go to Japan really bad.
The thing is, if you take a year off, you probably would have to do some work to get momentum back.
Yeah.
But if you take a week or two off, you're fine.
Yeah. No one's gonna even know you were gone.
you're fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, totally. One of my plans when I'm done shooting in America is to get LASIK.
You're gonna do it.
I got approved. I got approved for the process.
CISO said okay.
Yeah. That was the worst part when I said I tweeted something about LASIK, and so many people were like, "But what about your look?" Or your some people said brand or your identity, and I was just like,
"You're like, bro, that's what prescriptionless lenses are for,
yeah,
bro."
Yeah. But what more reason to do it than forego any idea that what I wear
is. Can I just make a recommendation?
Sure.
Just a little, just think about it. Don't say no right away. Get tattoo of glasses frames on your
That
over
was
your
the,
eyes.
Actually the plan. Yeah. I was going to do like a I've leopard prince cat eye.
Really?
Yeah.
Of course.
Of course.
Who
I've
does?
Seen that.
Of course
I've
that's
seen
a
that.
Thing.
Oh,
wow. Yeah. Some people do it.
Horn rim.
So that's, I'm looking forward to doing that.
That'll be exciting.
Great. Yeah. I would love to be able to not wear glasses.
I'm not enjoying contacts.
Yeah.
At all.
Yeah, no.
What's keeping you from
them?
I
tried them and I couldn't do it.
Well, I don't know. First of all, I don't know if I have the kind of... Maybe I do.
My eyes are pretty bad and I have astigmatism.
I'm farsighted.
Okay.
So really, I just need them for reading and general eye strain.
Yeah.
And so I can't just wear glasses around the world unless they were bifocals.
Yeah.
Even though there are transitional lenses, I just wear contacts and I don't enjoy them. But the LASIK process and what April went through was so horrifying.
Yeah, I know.
You did it? Katie did it?
It's fine.
I know you say it's fine.
One day.
But then April had a thing where it didn't heal properly. And so she had this weird thing. And there were like 3 days of her life where she was like, I just ruined my vision forever. And she was inconsolable.
Yeah, but now she says
but they had
glad.
To go in and scrape it off, and it had to reheal and all that. And I was like, oh yeah, I don't want to do any of that.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to the idea of it. Just mainly, talk of the like massive earthquake and stuff like that. I kind of go, well, what if I lost my glasses?
Are you thinking about the Twilight Zone episode?
I would have time to read all the books.
Books. You finally have them to yourself.
By the way, why couldn't that guy just scramble his way to a drugstore and find another pair of glasses? I guess it was the 60s, so maybe it was harder to find glasses.
I mean, those were pretty thick glasses. Where's he going to find
them? They were, but there's...
Two pairs?
Yeah, he should have.
There had to be glasses everywhere. People just got fried, you know, from the nuclear attack or
gross,
whatever.
Gross, Chris.
What?
Ghost glasses.
Just floating.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's exciting that you're going
to
do that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I was going to try and do it before we start shooting, but then I realized there's certain things I'm doing in the season that would, it's not wise to, you know, because there's a bit, hopefully, we're going to find if I can do it, skydiving. In the Miami episode. We already shot Miami, but we'll shoot somewhere else for it. But and then I went jet skiing, and I accidentally did, like, fall off the jet ski. I, like, wiped out. I didn't know you could, like, tip those things so easily. The whole idea.
That easy.
Well, it's like the whole bit was, like, it's like I get on a jet ski, and I soup it up with, like, GoPros, and the whole thing is, like, want to know what it's like to experience the plight of a Cuban refugee floating in the ocean. So
Christ.
I go on a Nisizawa X5000 wave breaker to see what it's really like. But then I go, before I realize the full extent of the struggle that these immigrants go through, let's see what this baby can do. And then it's just like a montage of me, like, jet skiing around. And what I was doing these circles, and then, like, tried to, like, do this other move, and it just dipped down, and I flew off, like, over the handlebars.
Wow.
And it was very frightening.
And you died.
I died. I'm a ghost now.
Ghost.
You're a ghost.
Jonah.
So you're going to need ghost LASIK.
Yeah, yeah. Ghost glasses.
Matt, what were you? I feel like if we're probably, I don't know if we're going to be able to get together again before the end of the year. So it is right now almost December. So this could be the end of the year Hostful podcast. Unless you guys want to get together again and do an end of year.
We could do another Sunday.
That's not the. Yeah, fourth. I mean, after this next leg, I'm around. Now.
But just in case.
11th is my Latke Cookie Fest. I hope to see you there. The following weekend. The 18th?
We'll be out of town. We're not going to be around.
Oh, that's on the 11th?
Yeah.
I can go.
Great.
I'm back. The next leg is Minneapolis and Cleveland.
I'm pretty sure I can go to that.
Good. You should.
Before work. Yeah. I can come in before work.
Yes, you have dead to talk.
Did you have... Matt, you must have made something incredibly impressive for Thanksgiving.
I did not.
What?
This year we ordered.
You did?
Yes. Yeah, it was...
I mean, with all the IBF, you weren't...
Against all,
you didn't,
like,
want to
every fiber
put a turkey baster
of my
in the...
being. Dory was like, let's just order. And I was like, okay. So we just got, you know, we ordered for some turkey, and, you know, we had a, you know, our traditional dinner we ordered, and we had it there because Dory was on bed rest because of the the day before we had done the, I mean, kind of turkey bastery of the throwing in of the embryo.
Mm-hmm.
We got a picture of the embryo. It's the baby. It's first picture of the baby.
Selfie? Did you do a selfie?
You know, I was gonna, but then I was like, maybe it's in poor taste when my wife front poops this thing out.
Yep.
Either prematurely or nah, I don't know. It's hard to say if it'll take. There's like a 30% chance.
You
it'll
don't
take.
Know? Oh, it's only 30%
yeah.
chance?
For but this that... particular embryo.
Got it.
So we'll, I mean, it's interesting. We'll
How
see.
Is she holding up?
Her breasts are tender. So that's like a hint that maybe she could be pregnant.
But I mean, how is she holding up through the process?
I'm just talking about her breasts.
I know you are, man.
That's all
know.
I care about. Right, fellas? Yeah. What?
I
no.
don't, I'm not comfortable.
She's doing all right. She's got Bo, you know, she's her and the dog really are hanging together on the couch. We're having a lazy four. I haven't been home on a weekday in a long, long time.
Your wife
time.
Is an incredible woman.
She really is. She's,
I mean, she is.
Her book comes out April 25th. Pre-order it on Amazon.
What's it called?
It's called Startup, a Novel by Dory Shafrir. And she just had a... Little Brown has this, like, luncheon where they have the spring... The authors are excited about it, so they pick three authors, and she was one of the three authors. And she got to go to this luncheon in New York, and they sat her next to the New York Times book review person. And she was nervous about that, but she probably crushed it. She's doing great. It's great. We're really excited about the book. It's very funny. April 25th, that comes out. And then she's going on a book tour in April, so she'll be in L.A., Seattle, San Francisco, New York. We're going to try to squeeze into Boston, hopefully at Booksmith in Brookline. That's where I'd like her to do it. And then I'm going to, because I'll be on hiatus from Goldberg's for April. So hopefully I get to go on the book tour with her.
Nice.
Yeah.
Good.
Should be good. If I'm not still shooting Sidekick with Matt Myra. Who knows, guys?
Who knows? Yeah.
Great episodes coming up. Check it out. projectalphasomething.net.
Sell it, sell it.
Don't know where to find it. Don't Google Project Don't Alpha. You'll get something entirely different.
No, I love you.
Our SEO is not great. That's all I'm saying.
That may be hard to know. Need to know. But I don't know. Well,
that's what I said. Our CEO is not great.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't feel good about that. I'm excited about I know this year was sort of dubbed the year of no chill by a Nerdist podcast listener, and it really was kind of the year of no chill, you know,
terrible year
in the world, but
outside of us.
Well, I mean, the thing is, nothing is all good or all bad.
Yeah.
So I just don't want, you know, when you read the news or you see things that are going on in the world and you're like, oh, it's the apocalypse. Every generation feels like that. Mm-hmm. And just I feel like now more than ever, don't give up hope and, you know, be there for your community. Be there for people you care about. Be thankful for the things that you do have and support the people that you love, and that's the best.
You know, it's not all bad out there, guys. Take it from three white cis males.
Hey, man. Three white cis beta cuck males.
Yeah, beta cuck. Fist bump. We're really far away from each other.
Yeah, and
couch.
You know, you don't obviously also.
We're
you don't
on a big leather couch in a mansion.
Yeah, you don't have to listen. You don't have to listen to me. I mean, you know, if that renders my advice or opinion inert, I completely accept that, and I understand. I was just thinking more about, you know, I feel like I was able to harvest good relationships this year with people, and I was never really super social before, and I don't know, it's just been, it's
well,
been
sometimes it takes a
sometimes it takes the love of a good woman,
the love of a good woman to bring it all around.
But I hope we get to do more of these, and I assume that we'll just do them whenever we can all make them work on the calendar together.
Yeah.
Whenever we can make them rain, guys, it's gonna be great.
So it's not gonna end. It's not gonna end, right?
No. That's really up to all of us. I don't know,
Katie. you still,
Katie, shaking it off?
You sick of this shit?
You're saying
Katie?
No? You're saying no?
You sick of our bullshit?
You sick of the podcast? You want to end the podcast? Guys, podcast is over. Katie shrugged.
She's been the puppet master this entire time. But you're traveling a lot until March.
Yeah.
But you'll be back around.
Yeah, there's you know, we go out for two cities, and then we come back, and then we shoot in town. So if we're doing, like, you know, a weekend or an evening, I'm always down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For that.
I have the worst schedule in the world. Like, as far as like, I have no, like, Mondays I shoot Sidekick at night, so I leave Culver City and drive to Burbank at 6:30 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Which is
dope.
The worst commute on the planet, I think.
Yeah.
And then I'm there till like 11:30, and then the rest of the week at Goldberg's, we don't know if we're getting out at 7 or midnight.
Yeah,
it's hard to say.
That's riding.
That's fun though.
Yeah.
It's good times and great oldies.
Do you have any, want to leak some storylines? No, don't do that.
No, I could probably tease some things that we've shot. We've got, let's see, the Kit episode already aired. We've got some great stuff with Barry. We got some fun developments with Barry. He's fun, you know, the real Barry Goldberg is a doctor in real life. And the TV Barry Goldberg is a real dum-dum. So we're going to finally figure out a way to make him still be a dum-dum, but be really good at science. So
right.
That'll be a fun episode. I think we're working on a Karate Kid script right now.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Sweep the leg, man.
Yeah. Sweep the leg.
2017, almost here. I can't believe this year's over. Fucking fuck. It's really crazy. I just can't wrap my mind around, you know, my dad would always say it, and then I would always be like, incredible, man. Now I'd be like, he's right. It's moving so fast. So grab it while you can, embrace it while you can, enjoy it while you can, enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy your burrito.
Is the thing we say on the show.
Get it while you can.
Get it while you can. And yeah, I'll be talking dead as a few more weeks, unless this posts after that, in which case, what a great few weeks those were.
Man, that was great.
And then the wall coming
ended,
up at midnight, 11:30. It is a late night show, everyone. It is. It's on. The time's a giveaway. It's on at 11:30 when other late night shows are on.
I mean, I feel like a lot of late night shows share that time slot.
We did our election night special. I'm so proud of. The show was live.
Oh, I can't believe you guys did that.
And we had Paul F. and Whitney Cummings and Ron Funches, and we had a... and Blaine Kapach wrote this amazing crawl that was this news crawl that was going on at the bottom, and then, you know, we incorporated stuff as it was happening. It was one of the, I was so proud of that show.
That's great.
And the team, the whole staff, and Joe Randazzo, and like everyone is just, everyone's just firing on all cylinders. So I hope people give the show,
Except Nick Weiger.
No, Nick Weiger.
He's always firing
best.
At all cylinders. That was the joke.
Yes, but yeah. People don't know that if they don't know.
Oh,
yeah. So
you listen to Doughboys. You get it. Nick's
yeah,
great.
Yeah, Nick's a fucking genius. He has one of the best Funny or Die videos.
Yeah.
Ever
Gungan comes style. Up in every Gungan writer's style. Room I've ever in.
It's the best. So at midnight in the wall, and then and I might go. Do some more Live with Kelly episodes, which was really fun.
My dad enjoyed it.
She's awesome.
You, he said here's great. Here's the scenario. ABC says, Chris, well, here's a pile. It's a pile of money. And we love the way you and Kelly look so Aryan together.
How that would be presented.
He's Italian.
Wait, hang on.
I am. I'm half Italian.
I know, but you got blue eyes and a light color hair.
I don't appreciate your tone.
They're
I
like,
don't appreciate your tone.
We've
told me to bring you these pies.
He can do it. He's a
offend everyone.
To bring you these pies.
We're backing up the Brinks truck. We'd love you to come out. Please come do Live with Kelly forever. And you go over to Comedy Central, and you're like, guys, listen, could we shoot in New York? And then Comedy Central's like, well, we have some stages there. Would you do it?
Oh, I don't know. I haven't. I don't. I mean, I can't rule it out, but I can't rule it in.
Ah!
You're getting so far ahead of where I'm at right
now.
So I just don't have an answer for that.
Chris is going to put like the final piece on in this house. And then he's going to get a phone call. And you're like, finally, the house is, hold on, my phone's ringing.
Boy, sure can't wait to spend forever.
Well, Alex Murray, what could this be about?
Oh, no.
This is the best worst news ever. No, I don't know. I mean, all I know is I had an amazing time doing the show. I have so much respect for – she is amazing. She's so conversational, even just – look, she's been doing that show for a long time. She doesn't have to chair.
Good thing I didn't sit there.
The 900-year-old chair.
She doesn't, you know, she could just do it like it's a job, go in, not talk to anyone. When you're on the commercial breaks, she's so sweet and warm and conversational. She fucking does warm up with the crowd.
Like, oh, funny.
Grabs the mic, goes and talks to people, answers questions, like makes jokes, gets you involved. Like, that woman is incredible. So
we just want to know, how's Gelman?
Great. Everyone's great. That production is... When you're there, you're like, oh, this is why this is the number one. Like, you completely understand why
it's a machine that's been
together
for decades.
But it's a really lovely vibe, and I don't know. I had fun doing it, and I think I'll probably get to do some more, and I'm looking forward to that. And
I feel like you're a natural.
It's all fun. Well, I don't know. I don't know. There are elements to it that are very podcasty,
mm-hmm.
because it's just conversation. You're literally just conversational. You're not really following, you know, they don't really follow a script. It's not, there wasn't anything to beforehand. You gotta, you know, it was like, showed up at 8, did the show from 9 to 10, chatted with her for a while
that's
after the
just
show.
Some of the fun that you could also have on Sidekick with Matt Myra.
That's exactly the
I'd
same
like
thing.
To do an episode where Joan is the host and you're the guest.
That'd be fun.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
Put me in my place.
Yeah. You know me.
You know me.
Oh, I've missed you guys so much.
The way he said it.
I love you both.
You're a fucking idiot.
Enjoy your burrito, everyone.
Enjoy your burrito.
Enjoy it!
Now leaving Nerdist.com. Enjoy your burrito.
For more than two centuries, the White House has been the stage for some of the most dramatic scenes in American history.
Inspired by the hit podcast American History Tellers, Wondery and William Morrow present the new book, The Hidden History of the White House. Each chapter will bring you inside the fierce power struggles, the world-altering decisions, and shocking scandals that have shaped our nation. You'll be there when the very foundations of the White House are laid in 1792, and you'll watch as the British burn it down in 1814. Then you'll hear the intimate conversations between FDR and Winston Churchill as they make plans to defeat Nazi forces in 1941. And you'll be in the Situation Room when President Barack Obama approves the raid to bring down the most infamous terrorist in American history. Pre-order The Hidden History of the White House now in hardcover or digital editions wherever you get your books.